Hello, good evening, and welcome to Farming News and Views with me, Chris Ashmore, here on Highland Radio. Well, I'm joined on the line this evening by John Cooney, who's the Regional Development Officer, basically for a line north of Dublin to Galway for the Irish Creamery Milk Suppliers Association. Good evening, John. Welcome to the programme. And first of all, the ICMSA, the oldest senior farm organisation in the country, dating back to 1950. And over the years, no doubt you've had some influential and important members from County Donegal. And Donegal is very much part of your patch. You've a big area to cover.
Yes, that's right, Chris. And thank you very much for having us on your programme this evening. ICMSA, as you say, was the first farm organisation to be founded. It was founded out of necessity because of poor milk prices at that time. That is still a very, very relevant point in ICMSA's duties right to this day. Our foremost duty is to try and protect our farmers and our members' incomes, to make sure that a farmer who works hard on behalf of his family can derive an income that will support that family farm.
Now, the organisation, the structure, tell us a little bit about in Donegal. You have a county executive that meets a number of times each year.
Yeah, the county executive meets about four times each year. They take a summer break, if you like, because when farmers are busy at silage and hay and so on, nobody wants to go out to a meeting on a fine summer's evening. So they meet in the autumn time and in the springtime twice on each occasion. They're a very, very active executive there, and they certainly have made great strides in Donegal. And I'd be very, very proud of the executive that we've had there for right back the years. We've had some tremendous people who are quite willing to give up their time voluntarily on behalf of their neighbours and their fellow countrymen.
Now, Donegal has, particularly in the east of the county, quite a number of quite large dairy farmers, and also not forgetting the livestock sector. In terms of the ICSAMA membership and people involved, are the numbers fairly steady?
Yeah, we do probably 95% of the milk suppliers in Donegal would be members of our organisation. Probably most of them would be dual members with other organisations as well. But they're quite actively involved with us so as to make sure that they get the best possible representation on behalf of the dairy enterprise. They too probably have a beef enterprise or a sheep enterprise running alongside it. But when it comes to representation on the dairy side, there is no organisation will touch what ICMSA is capable of doing for them. And they know that and they appreciate it.
And a lot of your work and the executive involved in the ICMSA, meetings with ministers, department officials, I suppose a lot of the time it's frustrating because so often, particularly when there's new legislation and a lot of it coming from Brussels, we seem to get bogged down in bureaucracy.
Yeah, it can be quite tedious, there's no doubt about that. But then I suppose in defence of that, we have to make sure to get it right. Because farmers' incomes are at stake and their livelihoods are at stake. And we have to make sure that each scheme that is introduced by the EU, that it's gone through with a fine-tooth comb so that there are no anomalies left in it or as little as possible. So we iron them out, tease them out as best we can to make sure that they're workable and that they're there for to serve our members on the ground.
Now, we're all aware that the ICMSA will represent farmers' interests on, you know, everything from Chagas, the Irish Dairy Board and Bord Bia, but it's not just purely sort of the agricultural sector. You've an input to the likes of the National Economic and Social Committee and even the Employment Appeals Tribunal, so your remit goes much further.
Well, that dates back to the time of the social partnership, Chris, where we were an equal social partner, which qualified us for representation on all of the bodies that were there, and that has continued right to this day. You must remember that agriculture is a very, very important employment sector in our economy, and for that reason it is imperative that we would have representation on the various different bodies, because our input is invaluable, and that is recognised by government officials, and rightly so. We appreciate the opportunity to make our representation there on behalf of our members, and it works well for both sides.
Now, so much of our legislation nowadays derives and directives also from Brussels. When things are coming down the track, how often does an organisation like the ICMSA get word of things before they actually become sort of common knowledge? I mean, there's a lot goes on at government level and in Brussels before it filters and has that sort of ripple effect down to the man on the farm.
Yeah, well, our organisation will be made aware of it while it will be at discussion stage or a proposal stage, if you like. And then we get involved and we try and iron it out and interact with the various different agencies so as to make sure that the regulation or the scheme would be workable and would be practical so as that it serves everybody well. There is no point in having a scheme which is unworkable because then the uptake won't be adequate for to justify the scheme, and then you would end up having money going back to Brussels, and that's in nobody's interest. So it's in everybody's interest that at the discussion stage that it will be properly ironed out and made workable.
Now, when we look in the history books in the years to come and we look back in 2015 and the abolition of milk quotas having been there for so long, a huge change in Irish agriculture. Nobody can gaze too far into the crystal ball, but certainly we're going to see a lot of developments, a lot of opportunities, indeed threats. You have to balance the books, not overexpend. The next 10 years are going to be very interesting in the sector.
We're heading into a very exciting time with abolition of quotas, but I know the way you say that we have to be very careful and exercise caution. Our organisation always felt that milk supply must be matched to the demand for the product which is produced from our milk. Now, last year we had an oversupply and it hit milk prices as a result of that oversupply, and that oversupply is still hanging there, and milk price has fallen from 39 cent right down to 30 cent, and the co-ops will argue that it shouldn't even be at 30, that it should be much, much lower, probably down at 26, 28. That is their side of it. Our side is that our farmers need a genuine, decent income and they need a margin. And at 30 cent, they are making little or no margin. So our job is to try and protect their income and try and keep it at 30 cent or above it, because unless a farmer gets a margin, he goes out of business very, very fast.
If we go back a couple of decades, there were co-ops all over the country. We've had numerous mergers and amalgamations and takeovers, and all the indications are, you know, the bigger players continue to get bigger in the market. Is there a concern about a competition being out there for prices?
Competition is the life of trade, as we all know, Chris, and it has been proven, as you have quoted a couple of times there in the history books, it has been proven recently and not so recently that big is not always beautiful. There are smaller players there who are doing a tremendous job. We are very, very lucky in our region that we have very, very fit co-ops. We have Arrivo, we have Lakeland Dairies, and we have Town of Monaghan. They are very, very fit for purpose co-ops. They're all buying milk out of Donegal, and that competition that's there is a healthy situation. And it is good for everybody. It's good for the co-op and it's good for the farmer.
One of the big issues all over the country, and particularly the western seaboard counties in recent months, has been the GLOS scheme and a lot of controversy about that. And the uptake amongst dairy farmers isn't expected to be very high. But what's the feedback that you're getting from members?
Well, while we would welcome a scheme like GLOS, it is a very, very poor relation for what it was supposed to be, which was a replacement for REPS. REPS was replaced by the AEOS scheme, and that was a major step backwards. GLOS seems to be a step further in the same direction backwards from what REPS was. REPS was a very useful scheme. It was good for the environment, it was good for tourism in this country, and it gave a return to the farmer. Unfortunately, that has moved away, and if a farmer doesn't see a return in it for him, he won't participate in the scheme. Now, I would be sorry to have to report to you this evening, Chris, that GLOS certainly doesn't seem very attractive to dairy farmers, and we regret that. We will work so as that when the next scheme comes in, that maybe there may be amendments made to help to accommodate them. But as of now, GLAS is not very attractive for dairy farmers.
And it's important to stress that with less money being paid out through a scheme like this, that's less money circulating in the local economy.
Of course, if a farmer gets, whether it be hundreds of euros or thousands of euros, that is directly reinvested in his own local community. He will go to the co-op store, or whether it be for barbed wire, for fencing back of waterways, creating new walkways. All that sort of thing is money channeled into the local community, and it is very, very welcome. We've seen when this country went into recession, it was agriculture which was the first sector to take it out of that recession, and we should not ever allow ourselves to forget that, the importance of agriculture to the local economy.
My guest this evening, the Regional Development Officer for the ICMSA, John Cooney. John, just before we finish off, just to get your thoughts on a couple of other important issues, and the whole issue of land eligibility, it just won't go away.
No, the land eligibility is a real thorny problem. There is no doubt about that. We could see this coming right back to the time of the negotiation of the new cap, where the changes had been implemented at that stage. It's very, very difficult task for anybody or any sector for to try and draw up a scheme that will satisfy the guys on the marginal land, whether that be in the west of Ireland or up the side of a mountain, or whether it's to compare with guys who are on good land in the Finn Valley. That's a reality. It's a challenge to us all, but it's one which we have to work together to try and overcome. And I have no doubt it can be overcome, but there must be understanding on everybody's behalf, including the department officials and inspections and so on. That this will have teething problems, and hopefully it can be resolved to everybody's satisfaction.
Now, another area that's causing a little bit of concern are the payments under the knowledge transfer system and just the manner in which they should be paid. As far as the ICMSA is concerned, you want the payments directly to the farmer.
Absolutely, because if it is paid to any other sector, whether they be agricultural consultants or chagas or whoever else, that is unfair. It's a farmer's payment, and why give it to the third body first and expect that he would hand it on? It is a license for them to charge whatever they wish for the drawing up of such plans. The money, similar to the last discussion group, which worked really, really well, was that the farmer got paid, and then he paid his chagas fee for his participation in the scheme, or whether it was an agricultural consultant's fee. And there's no reason why that cannot work again. We were told at negotiation stages that that would be the farmer's portion of it, and we will not accept anything other than that.
John Cooney, the Regional Development Officer of the ICMSA, joining me there. As John mentioned there, there is a county executive of the ICMSA in Donegal. The chairman is Dennis McLaughlin from Burnfoot. The secretary is Cecil Fairman from Balbuffet, and the council representative, James O'Donnell from Manor Cunningham. Well, that's just about it for this evening's edition of Highland Radio's Farming News and Views. From me, Chris Ashmore, a very good evening.